Here this morning at Rosie on the House, visiting with Dr. Sky in particular, because a couple articles over the last month really caught my attention, and because of some things that are going on in the sky right now that I wanted to bring to your attention so you could participate in, get the kids up and enjoy this. The show we've got going on tonight is a meteor shower. We were talking with Dr. Sky about the fact that some of these meteor showers you can actually calendar. They're so reliably present. Let's talk a little bit more about those.
Absolutely, Rosie, and good to be back here. You start off in January with a weird shower called the Quadrantids. These are all from different constellations in the sky. That one is usually difficult for people to see because of the cold of the year. But this is like the first major meteor shower that you can see on the calendar. And then things switch rapidly as we move simply into May. There's a meteor shower around the 5th called the Eta Aquarids from the constellation Aquarius. And then we look at the more reliable meteor showers of the year. Like, how about this one, Rosie? This year, in 2018, not only with Mars coming closest to the Earth in late July, but the annual Perseid meteor showers. That one rings a bell with people. That's on the night of the 11th. And then you move all the way into, like, the fall season when you have these two other great, well, three other ones. You have Orionids in October from Orion. You have Leonids in November, Leo the Lion. And then you have the Geminids in December. So those are the more reliable showers that you have. And some of them, Rosie, can produce. I've watched showers for like 40 years. Maybe many listeners have too. The darker the sky, the better. Of course, no moon or little moon in the sky. I've seen upwards of maybe hundreds an hour and maybe even pushing 200 or 300 an hour.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Here with Dr. Sky. Now, y'all need to know, Dr. Sky has his own radio show. It's every Saturday morning, just a little bit ahead of ours at 3 a.m.
Right, and that's awesome. And I want to just mention something because this is, Rosie, I think a treat to all the KTAR listeners. People have asked me for the longest time, how do we really keep in touch with you? So go to KTAR.com, go to the blog section, you'll see Dr. Sky. And Rosie, just what we've done, I think, is really cool. You get the latest news article that I'll pick for the week, but at the bottom, there's a direct link to print your own star chart. How about that? You can print your own beautiful star chart. And we put the satellite locator link in there so you can go out and just plug in the different numbers for where you live and location. And imagine this, Rosie, you're doing a nice barbecue with those great steaks, and you can tell people, hey, in 10 minutes, right over the top of that house, the space station is going to come. And imagine how many nice smiles you'll get because you're like a magician now of the sky.
Ever since we went on the Dolly Steamboat Cruiser with you at Canyon Lake, I've had the Planet software downloaded into my notebook. And so, like, when we have barbecues, I just plug that thing on and point it towards the sky, and it shows you what you're looking at.
Oh, it's amazing, Rosie. And speaking of the Dolly, just to mention pretty quickly, we have two cruises coming up next Saturday, the 28th. Still room on there, and you know, and you and your family love the cruise. I mean, you're obviously...
It's great.
Tell us it's awesome. And we have another one on May the 19th. And if you're really interested in seeing the land-based telescope side, we're back at the Lost Dutchman State Park. Mark it down, folks, Saturday evening, May the 12th at 7 p.m., where, of course, you and your family, Rosie, and all the listeners of Rosie on the House are invited. A beautiful place to celebrate. We'll bring out the big guns, as we call them, in telescopes, and we'll show you things with those lasers. And people just tell us, wow, we should have been doing this stuff years ago, and it's right. It's almost like a staycation for a night. It's really good.
And that is a great, either one of those activities are a great family activity. Get the kids to throw their eyes on one of those big guns and see what's out there.
Absolutely. It's a lot of fun, Rosie. It's just so cool.
And you've got a big event coming up here live in Scottsdale, right?
You know, yes, and I just want to say this in the most humble way. I'm part of the national show, the biggest overnight radio show in America, which is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. And his traveling road show goes all around the country. And since I'm a correspondent there, they asked me kindly, tonight at the Virginia Piper Theater, we're going to be on stage as one of the many great guests that George is going to have tonight. Pack the house, I'm sure. And if people want to look at maybe getting tickets, I think, Rosie, there should be some availability for that. And it's the Virginia Piper Theater. And people, obviously, if they're interested in going to this event, just contact or go on the web to find the Virginia Piper Theater. The number there that I was given is 480-499-8587, 480-499-8587. And you know who they're bringing, which I'm fascinated by? Travis Walton, because they cover a lot of the UFO subjects. The man who is responsible for the story behind Fire in the Sky right here in Arizona, right, Rosie, up in the in the big forest near Flagstaff, this alleged abduction took place. And wow, that's a story for itself. But he'll be there tonight, Travis Walton. I want to shake his hand.
There you go. There you go. Well, you're a busy guy. Before I let you go,
yes, sir.
There's just a few more things that just are on the top of my mind. Like, what is this discovery of a more turbulent surface of Jupiter? What's this Juno spacecraft? What's it doing getting that close to Jupiter? Can it survive that?
Well, here's the interesting thing. This is the most amazing solar-powered spacecraft. Usually you never had solar-powered spacecraft that far out in the solar system. They were powered by nuclear isotopes. But here it is. Juno is actually sweeping down on the top of the clouds of Jupiter, and it can't stay there for too long because the radiation would destroy it. So in about a 53-day orbit, it plans itself very precisely to sweep over about 1,800 miles. And, Rosie, what it's seeing is more turbidity, more weather systems, more violent weather on Jupiter that's ever seen before. And it's also capturing something that we know on Earth is auroras. Jupiter, as well as Saturn, have their own auroras. Jupiter is really just like a big radiation machine, so that's why it can't stay too close. But it's observing things. And remember, Juno is the wife of the great Jupiter, God Zeus. And unfortunately, since this is a family show, we'll just say it nicely, Jupiter had many, many mistresses. The satellites Io, Europa, Ganymede, and Callisto, they were all mistresses of Jupiter. So the space people, NASA, named it Juno because what is she doing? She has a watchful eye on her wandering eye husband. And how much better can Juno see than the real secrets that lie within Jupiter? How about that?
Now, was it this spacecraft that also discovered a new event on Saturn?
No, that was actually something that the Cassini spacecraft had imaged. But here's what's happening. For people who have fairly large telescopes out there, there's an actual storm. It's like this whitish region in Saturn's northern pole. No, that was another spacecraft. But the point is, the energy of the sun, like we see here on the Earth with auroras, it goes out deep into the solar system, and sometimes it magnifies itself. So Jupiter has auroral systems that would make, in other words, one strand of aurora, the energy in that could probably power the Earth for like 10 years.
Wow.
From a blow dryer to a generator. And that's your specialty when it comes to providing proper current in the home and all of that area. So it's amazing what we're finding out, Rosie. It's just totally incredible.
And we were just narrowly missed by an asteroid while I was in Europe. I mean, I could have been there on the shore of the Mediterranean and it could have been vaporized.
Well, here's the real story behind that.
These asteroids sneaking up on us?
Well, that's the problem, and here it is. We have to, in a very lighthearted way, we have to salute, though, seriously, the people at the Catalina Sky Survey down in Tucson and in Arizona. They detected, here it is, here would be the headline, asteroid nearly misses the Earth, but it was only discovered a day before it went within 190,000 miles of the Earth. Rosie, it was 200 feet in diameter, not to scare people. It was discovered, I'll repeat, only 24 hours before its closest passage. And the meteor that created the meteor crater, you have to see it, folks, if you haven't, near Flagstaff to the east.
Great stop if you haven't been there.
Oh, it's incredible. One of the freshest craters on the Earth. That was created allegedly by a 200-foot object, like the one that passed us. And it hit 50,000 years ago. I don't have the exact date and time, but we'll go for that and leave that. But it made this incredible, almost mile-and-a-half crater. So we're lucky, and the point is, there isn't much anything anybody can do about it, because if it was on a different path, we may very well not be having this conversation. That would not destroy the Earth, but it sure the heck would make a lot of problems, and our atmosphere would be dirty, dirty, dirty for a long time, like Mount Pinatubo or Mount St. Helens on steroids. It would produce so much stratospheric dust that we would have for the next, 5-10 years, some rather dim sunlit days here on the Earth if it hit, even that small an object.
Now, I've always had, since childhood, an amateur interest in the solar system.
Yes.
Just a natural curiosity about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I never remember seeing stories about asteroids near missing Earth. And I think there's been like 3 or 4 in the last 10 years.
Rosie, if you really dig into it, you're absolutely right. I say this all the time. It's almost tiring to see, and again, not to attack some of the journalists out there who write this. It may not be their expertise, but we constantly hear Earth grazed by asteroid. The point is, we're having larger and more sophisticated telescopes that use these large things, but people know who are photographers. You have an imaging sensor on your camera. It's like a CCD, charge couple device. These telescopes now are picking up objects. A good friend of mine, Jim Scotty, down at the University of Arizona, he goes up on the mountain, and he comes back, and he's probably loaded. If it was like gold coins, he'd be pulling in so many each time. The reason we're seeing so much or hearing about this, it's probably been going on for a long time. We never had the detection equipment to be able to pick it up.
In my basic understanding of telescopes and observation and directional locating, and going back to my surveying class on Tempe Mountain back in 1974 with Dr. Borgo, it just seems to me, with all the satellites circling the planet, we shouldn't have a blind side that an asteroid could approach us from, with all the triangulated cameras pointing all the different directions.
I agree with you, but here's also the problem, and there's really no way to solve this. And if there are real scientists that are listening too, who understand this, and obviously everybody's interested, and so are you, what about the object that comes directly in line from behind us, meaning from the direction of the sun? So the sun is blinding us, no matter what size telescope we have. If it's coming to you, in other words, if you're standing behind bright headlights on a car, and you're looking at the car headlights, you don't see the person so easy. So there are many of these objects that are, I hate to use the word, sneaking up on the Earth. I don't think they have a conscience, these asteroids. At least let's hope not. And if they do, let's hope they're friendly and they're not on any psychotropic drugs. But the truth is, since they're rocks, that's the problem. But the answer is, we're seeing many more of these, like almost every week. There are 1,907 potentially hazardous asteroids that we have calculated orbits on. These are objects that come within, let's say, a lunar distance of the Earth. But the good news, Rosie, to leave everybody positive in the positivity way.
Yes.
None of those asteroids have been at least reported to us that are going to hit here anytime soon. And I find that even more amazing because, unfortunately, the dark side of this, we're really overdue for an impactor. And I don't really want to go too deep into that.
That's not. Dr. Sky, I can't thank you enough for joining us this morning.
Thank you and your family, Rosie.
You've got a couple public events here coming up. Mm-hmm. You've got the Dolly Cruise, Canyon Lake, on April 28th.
Right, and the 19th of May, and also Lost Dutchman on the 12th, Saturday evening, 7 p.m. That's when we bring out the big guns and telescopes, and this way you can actually look through it. The dolly's great, but it's hard to put the big gun up there to be able to, as we're moving.
Because you're moving on the boat, of course.
But it's still great.
And then the event tonight at Piper's.
Yes, Virginia Piper Theater, the Coast to Coast show with George Norrie, like I mentioned. You can still probably get tickets, but just Google the information for the Virginia C. Piper Theater. Thank you.
Wow. Thanks a million. If that didn't expand your thought processes this morning, I don't know what we could have started this show with. Dr. Sky, thanks a million.
Folks, always a pleasure.
We'll be right back.